Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Please be seated. A member of this parish who's listened to probably more of my sermons than he cares for always hears the same thing. I say different things, but he always interprets the same thing. And after the service, he says to me, "It's about hubris. It's about placing my desire before God's desire." You may remember in the gospel last week, it started with a man in a crowd who wanted Jesus to settle an inheritance dispute. He asked Jesus to tell the man, his brother, to give him his share of the family inheritance. And in response, we heard the parable of the rich fool who was consumed by anxiety about life. It didn't say that, but the man had a bumper crop. He produced abundantly. And so rather than considering how to use his resources to provide for the community, he considered how to use his resources to provide for himself. So he must have been anxious about life, because he built bigger barns to store up treasure and grain and all of his possessions so that he could eat, drink, and be merry and never worry or want for anything. Until that same night when God shows up and says, "Your time is up." Hubris. But Jesus reminds us of something else. After the parable of the rich fool, we don't have today's gospel. We skipped something. We have the very familiar language about the lilies of the field that neither spin nor toil and yet are arrayed in more glory than Solomon ever was. We are reminded of the ravens who do not build barns and yet are fed and survive. Years ago, I knew a young priest who, when he was in seminary, was having a picnic at VTS, having a picnic with his bishop and a few of his other classmates from his diocese. And wanting to be the shining star, he said to his bishop, "Bishop, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." And the bishop patted him on the head and said, "I think you've got it backwards. I think you've got it backwards. It's where your treasure is, there will your heart be." What is the treasure that Jesus keeps talking about? Is it grain? Is it money? Is it time? Is it where you put your attention most of the day? Is it your children? Or a hobby? Or your work? Or even your body? Where is it that you place your heart? This is a call to awareness. It's about finding out where your heart is so that you know whether or not it's where it is supposed to be, which is with God. Is your heart bound to God, or is your heart bound to yourself, your own desire, whatever that may be? If you don't examine your life and think about that, you really don't know the difference. Theologian Frederick Buechner said that the place God calls you to go is the same place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. The place where God calls you to live is the same place where your deepest gladness meets the world's deepest need. I've only been ordained for 1 year, but I'm 41 years old. I knew, at least I believed I knew, that I was called to ordain ministry when I was quite young. But I was not willing to go to that place. And one of the reasons, the principal reasons, regardless of whether I was aware of it or not, I am now, but one of the reasons was that I was pretty comfortable where I was. I was pretty certain that my gladness would be much, much less being an ordained minister. To give up my income or home or friends or whatever it was that I treasured, I knew that once I did that, things would be not so great. I was wrong. Abraham believed God, and he went. He went to that place to live that kind of relationship with God. That kind of relationship that is based on faithfulness and trust, not on hubris, not on taking care of myself first. Loving myself, yes, but putting my desires first, no. Abraham believed God, and he went, and he trusted. But be aware that he never saw the fulfillment of those promises. He had a son, Isaac, but God said, "You will have a nation greater than the stars you can count in the sky." Abraham never saw the fulfillment of that promise. Does that mean the promise wasn't kept? Does that mean God's not trustworthy? No. It means that the times of our lives are not the fullness of God's life. We are in a stream of life, in a stream of giftedness, of relatedness. And the measure of our lives is not the horizon that we can see. It's not everything that's in front of us. It goes so far beyond us that we have no idea where or when or how these promises will be fulfilled. We are here in this church, in the Christian faith, because of the trust, the faithfulness that others have had, held, cared for, given freely from generation to generation through baptism, through water and the Holy Spirit. We are buried with Christ. We die to this life, and we accept the promise of new and unending life. We had two burials yesterday. When the remains arrive at the church, there is a short liturgy. And after that, they both were cremations, which I like to place on a little table right in front of the baptismal font so that no one can enter the church without seeing both the font and the remains. And be reminded that that is where our life begins. In baptism. And our life ends in the community who celebrates the promise. We are baptized, we live, we die, and we hold the promise of resurrection. After receiving the remains, I bless the water, and then I sprinkle the families to remind them of their baptismal promises. When we have a baptism here, sometimes we sprinkle the congregation to remind them of their baptismal promises. Because we carry these promises for each other. We carry them for each other when we are joyful and when we are in distress, when we are in the hospital or at home or in church. And all of it is because of one man. Abraham believed. One man. One man believed so much that people listened and followed him and loved him as he loved them. And when he died, they were terrified and fearful. And they thought that everything that they hoped for was gone. But 3 days later, that man appeared to them in flesh and in spirit. And they were so astounded that they shared that story, that truth of a resurrected person, a person who was dead as our brothers and sisters die, and yet raised. Abraham, Moses, the disciples, St. Paul, and all the saints that have lived between then and now carry and pass on that promise of new and unending life. You and I hold that promise. Let that be our treasure. Let that be where our heart is. Holding that promise, giving that promise to others, and living in thanksgiving for all that it means to us.